It's one of the best known and most often told stories in our history. Sir Ed Hillary and Sherpa Norgay Tenzing's momentous climb to the top of Mount Everest on May 29, 1953. But in his new play, The Sherpa and the Big Keeper, Matt Cambeck explores the downside of fame and the long-term effects, good and bad, on not only the mountain's conquerors, but also the local Nepalese people.
What's this you doing?
I'm looking for Sandy Irvine's camera. I'm going to find it. And it'll have a photo of Mallory and Irvine on the summit. And you and I can return to obscurity. Think how nice that will be.
You? Too big.
Too big?
The other day, I was hearing this. Tenzing won't meet audience of people who wish to greet him. Tenzing is getting too big. How do you like that?
I get the same stuff in New Zealand. I'm the quintessential tall poppy.
When Hamilton's Meteor Theatre did a shout-out for new scripts for its boil-up program, Matt sent his in, and now, after a few COVID-related curveballs, the play is about to go on stage. The Raglan-based writer and director admits to a lifetime of fascination with the Everest story.
I've always liked mountaineering stories, and first of all, Everest is a natural draw for a lot of people in humanity because it's the top of the world, so there's a fascination there. And of course, the first expedition there is extra fascinating. And then when you delve into the story more and more, it just gets layered and layered. And then when I moved to New Zealand, it was like, you know, an additional layer on that interest because here was Edmund Hillary's home country that I was living in. So yeah, a lot of different things. But probably the mountain itself was the first draw when I read a book about it back when I was a teenager, probably Epics of Everest and the Amazing Stories. Yeah.
You could argue that it's a brave soul who attempts to write or have performed on stage anything about the events on Mount Everest, Hillary and Tenzing, because the story, as you say, is so well known. It's been so written about, it's been researched, it's been filmed in so many ways. So when you knew that you wanted to explore the story, what fresh angles do you offer us?
I thought, first of all, it would be really cool to create a set piece of the top of the mountain. I mean, what a natural stage. Here you have the top of the world. So I wanted to recreate in the first act, we kind of try to recreate that moment on the summit. And there you are, an audience sitting in these theater, and you're watching these guys in the first few moments of their victory on the mountain. So I thought that was incredible. But as you read more and more about the story and the characters, to me, they were just two good-hearted, down-to-earth people who were thrust into sudden worldwide fame and connected permanently. So what I tried to do as a writer is explore in the latter part of the play all the repercussions, cultural, class, personal, that hit them. And in some way, stay authentic to the original characters as I understood them, but use them to represent, you know, the whole West versus East, each cultural clashes. So there's a lot of information. I mean, I've certainly taken it in the second and third act or an imagined future where the two gentlemen get back up there on the peak and talk about all this stuff. I always wanted to maintain the core of decency that I think both men had in their hearts before and after the climb.
Well, clearly, of course, we know Hillary's story rather better, but what were the consequences of fame for Tenzing?
You know, there's a lot of different things happened immediately after the climb. One of them was that he was touted as the first to reach the peak by the masses that they paraded through in India and Nepal. And it kind of became a minor issue right away about who got to the top first. So that became an issue probably in the media and the public eye more so than with the people. And then that kind of played out awkwardly in the immediate aftermath of the climb somewhat for Hillary when they were in India and Nepal, because when they were first on the big stage in front of thousands of people with the Indian prime minister, you know, Tenzing was introduced as the first to climb. And there was banners of Tenzing up on the mountaintop that were made up for the parade with Hillary kind of being dragged up behind him. But to answer your question, Tenzing as far as I understood it, he wanted to climb the mountain because he knew that if he was first, it would lift his family out of sort of a poverty situation and the, you know, the kind of life that most of the Nepalese and the Sherpa were leading. So he had a sense of that somewhere inside. And he achieved that. But on top of that was layered, you know, worldwide fame and a lot of pressure to say he got to the top first, different kind of pressures. If you read about his life, he never was able to handle the mantle of fame as well as Hillary, even though Hillary himself, I don't know if he necessarily handled it perfectly, but imagine just their names are probably some of the most well-known names in all the history of the world, if you think about it, because they're from the East and the West. They climb the top of the world. You know, history talks about them a lot. So the end of Tenzing's life was tougher. I didn't go there in the play where alcoholism and he was widowed early and remarried. You know, some in his society thought he had gotten too big, so to speak. Tenzing won't meet an audience of people who want to greet him. And he was quoted as saying, people think I'm too big. I mean, I certainly don't understand culturally what he went through, but I guess going back to Darjeeling and being lifted up by his own people and worldwide fame put him in a spot in a world that he had come out of, which was much less well-to-do. What I tried to do with more with the play was touch on the immediate aftermath of the climb and all of the, you know, cultural repercussions and personal repercussions from that next few years or so, where both of them, you know, had to deal with a little bit more just from how their lives changed so suddenly. They were still bound together, you know, they had done it together. So
what's your understanding of the relationship between the two men?
Hillary saw that Tenzing would be a good climbing partner, and that kind of cemented their partnership on the mountain. And Tenzing was also known as a cheerful, you know, solid Sherpa who probably anyone would have loved to have been teamed with as a climbing partner. So Hillary wanted the summit in his way also. So I think he saw that this was a good teammate. Not that he had aspirations of glory or anything like that. So as a team, they went up and they got to the summit together and came down and kind of celebrated. But already you could see that Hillary was back with George Lowe, his New Zealand buddy, and more of the British team, I think, in celebrating and going through the initial phases right after the climb. So I don't think it was a thing like Tenzing, come down to Auckland and, you know, we'll tour together and talk about our climb. It was more of a respect and a expedition friendship. I don't think they ever had great animosity, but I think one of the things that showed up a little surprisingly was when Hillary mentioned he was disappointed that Tenzing had told the King of Nepal that Tenzing had got to the summit first after they had agreed that they would say they got there together. So there was a little rift going on there that Hillary even mentioned, I think, in 1999 again, that was still kind of sticking in his head as something that was awkward about what they had done based on what their own agreement was.
Again, we know the Hillary story very well and his commitment to the Nepalese people and the fundraising and that those efforts. But there was a price, a heavy price for him to pay, of course, with the plane accident that cost him those that he loved. So just as Tenzing paid a price, so too did Hillary.
Very true. The one thing to think about is I don't think Hillary saw where his future lie in helping Nepal and Everest at the point of the summiting. I think he probably thought he was going back to beekeeping of sorts and maybe, you know, some touring and, you know, a book. But as far as I can tell from my reading, the epiphany of going back to Nepal and starting to really put his mind to helping them out over there didn't happen during the expedition or immediately after. I could be wrong in that, but based on my reading, that was more of a thing that developed. And yeah, I think that turned into a beautiful capstone to the expedition that he, even though he brought a lot of attention to Everest, a lot of climbers followed him, you know, he helped get the airport at Lukla built and that opened the way for a lot of tourists to come in and fly in much closer to Everest. And of course, tourists bring their money, but they also bring their footprints and their garbage, and they're running around in the esteemed, venerable national park area, which the Everest area now is. So the whole thing about the Everest story and Everest in general is right now, as you probably are aware, it became a place where rich people could go to add to their bucket list or something like that. A lot of people climbed the summit, but only people that had a lot of money could afford it. This is in many later years, you know, the 80s and 90s and 2000s. But Hillary and Tenzing, with what they achieved, kind of, you know, were the first ones to open that door. So in the play, we try to explore both the good and the non-good that occurred out of the climb to the region, to the people, and to the men. But I do think that Hillary, what Hillary has done over there has been a tremendous thing. And he considers it his life's work. When people ask him what's the biggest thing he did, it's not climbing Everest. It's what he did with the people over there, which is a beautiful thing to hear.
Stand still.
Aye, freezing. Ate kucha you.
Stay there. Without this, I'm not sure anyone will believe we made it.
You finish? What about toes?
Yes. Thank you. Now we can be properly miserable.
Sahib, no more up.
No more up. We did it.
And while I have you, I see that you were able to work on this play thanks to an initiative at the Meteor Theatre, the Boil Up program. Talk me through that. It sounds like a great project.
The Boil Up program invited 10 prospective playwrights to submit ideas. 10 of us were selected. We were brought in for two intensive weekend workshops with professionals out of Auckland and Wellington in the theater industry, and we had actors read through our initial drafts, which was just so wonderful for me to watch the words come to life with real people who really knew what they were doing with the acting. Anyway, we developed our plays, and a few months later we came back again, and two of those plays have been performed already at the Meteor. I think mine might be the third or fourth, I'm not sure. But they've been supportive all throughout. It's been tremendous, yes.
Playwright and director Matt Cambick, The Sherpa and the Beekeeper Summit on Everest premieres at the Meteor Theatre in Kirikiroa, Hamilton on Wednesday.